Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
An emergency move.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The Federal Reserve made an emergency cut in interest rates this morning. It's a reaction to the sell-off in global stock markets that began yesterday. The Fed cut its key rate on overnight bank loans by 0.75 point. Earlier this morning, the futures market was pointing to a 5% drop for the U.S. stock market. Economist Kenneth Kim of Stone & McCarthy Research.
We were surprised, given the Fed's reluctance in the past to cut rates in between meetings, and Fed Chairman Bernanke wanted to remove himself from the mold of previous Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan, but obviously the deterioration in equity markets as well as sentiment worldwide about the prospects for U.S. economic activity forced today's move.
Now, that move may have helped a little, but Wall Street is set for huge losses right at the opening bell. Overnight, Japan's Nikkei lost nearly 6%. The market in Hong Kong fell nearly 9%. Beyond worry over recession, the fear is about the credit crunch becoming a full-blown financial catastrophe. Now, the administration is working on its plan to stimulate the economy. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson canceled a trip to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, to work on a plan to help the economy.
What we're trying to do here is move quickly, and I know it's doable, to get something in place that will make a difference this year.
Later, we'll get another perspective. The National Association for Business Economics will release its quarterly survey on business conditions. And as Jeremy Hobson reports, this might have a bit of good news.
4 in 5 respondents say employment will either hold steady or increase in the near term. Yet practically everybody expects the housing slowdown to continue. Ken Simonson, chief economist with the Associated General Contractors of America, calls it an interesting dichotomy.
I think this is really distinctive in that there is so much more upbeat attitude about companies' own capital spending and hiring plans in the face of what's widely reported to be the beginning of a recession or at least a very marked slowdown.
David Madland at the Center for American Progress says some Americans are always upbeat, but this survey reflects false optimism.
A few people might think they can swim against the tide, but the tide is taking the economy down.
Madland says just ask workers who see a different picture when it comes to wages, retirement, and health care. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Environmentalists are fine-tuning their measurement of carbon emissions. They're focusing on the supply chains at big companies. We have more from Nancy Marshall Genzer.
Right now, a company like Dell just measures the carbon it emits. A group called the Carbon Disclosure Project has signed up a dozen big-name corporations, including Dell and Procter & Gamble, for an experiment. Project head Paul Simpson says suppliers fill out a carbon emissions questionnaire. When their emissions are added, a corporation's carbon footprint goes up a shoe size or two.
Companies need to understand where in the world they have ownership or an influence over emissions.
But Scott Siegel, an environmental lawyer representing utilities, says emissions are hard to measure.
There's an awful lot of what I would call voodoo economics that's associated with determining the carbon footprint of any one particular industrial process or any one particular facility.
The Carbon Disclosure Project says this experiment will help solve that problem by creating a single standardized approach for measuring the emissions of a corporation and its suppliers. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Siemens. From strengthened urban infrastructures to sustainable environmental solutions to advanced healthcare technology, Siemens' 70,000 U.S. employees are providing solutions for America. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over a billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
In Hollywood this morning, the nominees were announced for the Academy Awards. But this year's Oscar ceremony is in doubt because of the writers' strike. There's buzz about informal talks beginning this week. Now, as the strike drags on, businesses catering to writers are suffering. In Los Angeles, Lenora Chu stopped by one restaurant that's got a creative touch during these tough times.
Campanile is that hot spot famous for its gourmet grilled cheese. In Italian, Campanile means bell tower. Problem is, since the writer strike began, few bells have been ringing at the restaurant, least of all the cash register.
And the business has been seriously affected by the writer strike.
That's Campanile chef and owner Mark Peel. He noticed the midweek crowd thinned out after the strike began, so he launched the Writer's Soup Kitchen. On Wednesdays, anyone with a writer's union card can bring in a table full of guests, and everyone gets a three-course meal for $18. That's about half price. It's been packed Wednesdays ever since.
We're not making any money on this, but it is filling the restaurant. The truth is, no matter what your profit margin is, if you're not selling anything, you're not making any money.
Peel says the soup kitchen is also his thank you to his patrons over the years. Most are in show business.
They're the people who make the movies, make the TV shows. They're the writers, the producers, the directors, the cinematographers, the set designers, the costume designers.
An added bonus to soup kitchen night? Peel's loyal customers are bringing in friends who have never been to Campanile.
And those are the people I really want to see. The people we've never seen before.
People like internet writer Derek Hughes. Hughes says businesses are offering writers discounts on everything from massages to martinis, and he appreciates it. Tonight is his first time at Campanile.
It's not like writers will go actively seeking out, like, I'm going to go get money, you know, free food and, you know, have fries off on stuff like that. It's more about people having big hearts that, you know, has really been the great thing.
Eddie Gorodetsky is an Emmy Award-winning TV comedy writer. He's been a Campanile regular for a decade. The soup kitchen has become a weekly routine. He says it brings him out of his cave.
It's really, because writers are often invisible. We're kind of, you know, socially inept.
One more thing, he says, half-price meals are great, but he'd love to get back to work. In Los Angeles, I'm Lenora Chu for Marketplace.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.